Hi everybody, this is Willie. My real name is Don Sutton, but I have a nickname Willie, which comes from the bank robber Willie Sutton, who, when asked repeatedly being arrested for robbing banks, why he did it, he said, because that's where the money is. So I always try to go where the money is, in the sense that I try to figure out what the essence of things are. Anyway, did a podcast called Willie's World for couple of years, and it was a political podcast trying to dig into the deep state and what was going on there, and also the real story behind the Russia story. And I realized after a while that I was just watching something that I could predict in advance was going to play out between the Republicans and the Democrats. And it was really kind of boring after a while, so I decided that I would move in it different direction, which brought into existence my current podcast, which I call Evolution Revolution, in the sense that I believe there is a revolution going on in terms of humans evolving collectively their consciousness to a higher state over a long period of time, most likely, that is really going to be the answer to what's going on in the world today. And in America today, in terms of the chaos and crime and political corruption and moral bankruptcy that I see out there. And hopefully in this podcast, Evolution Revolution, I'm going to present some ideas about what the answer to this problem is in terms of methods for evolving both individually and collectively. But to take a step back from what's going on currently, really, as of today, I have been detoured because I've been working on the campaign for Marianne Williamson 2024. And a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, she suspended her campaign largely because she was running out of money. And lo and behold, as of today, she's restarting her campaign, largely because she's on the ballot for 30 something states and people can still vote for her no matter what's going on. And hopefully a lot of people will. So I've been involved in that for quite a while, which is why I haven't been doing any podcasting, but I'm trying to get back into it now. One of the answers I'll call it devolving at this point because it seems like we're going backwards as a society, American society, and the world at large. One of the answers to this problem, I believe, lies with something called A Course in Miracles. And how I connected with A Course in Miracles was when I met Marianne Williamson 4 years ago, and she's basically a worldwide expert on A Course in Miracles and has made many famous lectures explaining parts of it. And so I thought, like, the first thing that I would talk about that's one of the answers I think are out there is called A Course in Miracles. How did A Course in Miracles come about? Well, it began with the sudden decision of two people to join in a common goal. Their names were Helen Schuckman and William Tedford, professors of medical psychology at Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons in New York City. It really doesn't matter who they were, except that the story shows that with God, all things are possible. They were anything but spiritual. Their relationship with each other was difficult and often strained, and they were concerned with personal and professional acceptance and status. In general, they had considerable investment in the values of the world. Their lives were hardly in accord with anything that the Course in Miracles advocates. Helen, the one who received the material, describes herself thusly: psychologist, educator, conservative in theory, and atheistic in belief, I was working in a prestigious and highly academic setting. And then something happened that triggered a chain of events I could never have predicted. The head of my department unexpectedly announced that he was tired of the angry and aggressive feelings our attitudes reflected and concluded that there must be another way. As if on cue, I agreed to help him find it. Apparently, this course is the other way. Although their intention was seriously, they had great difficulty in starting out on their joint venture, but they had given the Holy Spirit the little willingness that, as the course itself was to emphasize again and again, is sufficient to enable him, God, to use any situation for his purposes and provide it with his power. To continue Helen's first person account, 3 startling months preceded the annual actual writing, during which time Bill suggested that I write down the highly symbolic dreams and descriptions of the strange images that were coming to me. Although I had grown more accustomed to the unexpected, by that time I was still very surprised when I wrote, "This is a Course in Miracles." That was my introduction to the voice. It made no sound, but seemed to be giving me a kind of rapid inner dictation, which I took down in a shorthand notebook. The writing was never automatic. It could be interrupted at any time and later picked up again. It made me very uncomfortable, but it never seriously occurred to me to stop. It seemed to be a special assignment I had somehow, somewhere agreed to complete. It represented a truly collaborative venture between Bill and myself, and much of its significance, I am sure, lies in that. I would take down what the voice said and read it to him the next day, and he typed it from my dictation. I expect he had his special assignment too. Without his encouragement and support, I would never have been able to fulfill mine. The whole process took about 7 years. The text came first, then the workbook for students, and finally the manual for teachers. Only a few minor changes have been made. Chapter titles and subheadings have been inserted in the text, and some of the more personal references that occurred at the beginning have been omitted. Otherwise, the material is substantially unchanged. The names of the collaborators in the recording of the course do not appear on the cover because the course can and should stand on its own. It is not intended to become the basis for another cult. Its only purpose is to provide a way in which some people will be able to find their own internal teacher. So what exactly is the Course in Miracles? Well, as the title implies, the course is arranged throughout as a teaching device. It consists of 3 books, a 669-page text, a 488-page workbook for students, and a 92-page manual for teachers. The order in which the students choose to use the books and the ways in which they study them depend on their particular needs and preferences. The curriculum the course proposes is carefully conceived and is explained step by step at both the theoretical and the practical levels. It emphasizes application rather than theory and experience rather than theology. It specifically states that a universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible but necessary. One of my personal beliefs. Although Christian in statement, the course deals with universal spiritual themes. It emphasizes that it is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one differing from them only in form. They all lead to God in the end. The text is largely theoretical and sets forth the concepts on which the course's thought system is based. Its ideas contain the foundation for the workbook's lessons. Without the practical application the workbook provides, the text would remain largely a series of extractions, which would hardly suffice to bring about the thought reversal at which the course aims. The workbook includes 365 lessons, one for each day of the year. It is not necessary, however, to do lessons at that tempo, and one might want to remain with a particularly appealing lesson for more than one day. The instructions urge only that more than one lesson a day should be attempted. The practical nature of the workbook is underscored by the introduction to its lessons, which emphasizes experience through application rather than a prior commitment to a spiritual goal. Some of the ideas in the workbook present you will find you hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them. And you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actually resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. But do not allow yourself to make exceptions in applying the ideas the workbook contains and whatever your reactions to the ideas may be. Use them. Nothing more than that is required. Finally, the manual for teachers, which is written in question and answer form, provides answers to some of the more likely questions a student might ask. It also includes a clarification of a number of the terms the course uses, explaining them with the theoretical framework of the text. The course makes no claim to finality, nor are the workbook lessons intended to bring the student's learning to completion. At the end, the teacher is left in the hands of his or her own internal teacher, who will direct all subsequent learning as he sees fit. While the course is comprehensive in scope, truth cannot be limited to any finite form, as is clearly recognized in the statement at the end of the workbook. This is the statement. The course is not a beginning, it's a beginning, not an end. No more specific lessons are assigned, for there is no more need of them. Henceforth, hear but the voice of God. He will direct your efforts, telling you exactly what to do, how to direct your mind, and when to come to him in silence, asking for his sure direction and his certain word. This is what the introduction to A Course in Miracles says. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does mean, however, that removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That very simple statement, in my experience, has profound effects as you go through the course. Okay, let me read from one of the lessons, of which there are 365, one for every day of the year, to give you a flavor for what they're like. Lesson one, nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, means anything. Now look slowly around you and practice applying this idea very specifically to whatever you see. This table does not mean anything. This chair does not mean anything. This hand does not mean anything. This foot does not mean anything. This pen does not mean anything. Then look farther away from your immediate area and apply the idea to a wider range. That door does not mean anything. That body does not mean anything. That lamp does not mean anything. That sign does not mean anything. That shadow does not mean anything. Notice that these statements are not arranged in any order and make no difference, make no allowance for differences in the kinds of things to which they are applied. That is the purpose of the exercise. This statement should merely be applied to anything you see. As you practice the idea for the day, use it totally indiscriminately. Do not attempt to apply it to everything you see, for these exercises should not become ritualistic. Only be sure that nothing you see is specifically excluded. One thing is like another as far as the application of the idea is concerned. Each of the first three lessons should not be done more than twice a day, preferably morning and evening. Nor should they be attempted for more than a minute or so, unless that entails a sense of hurry. A comfortable sense of leisure is essential. A lot of the lessons are a lot more complicated and require a lot more thought and a lot more practice, but this is a good example of what they're like. And in my experience, this book, this course, A Course in Miracles, is totally unique in terms of all the religious books I've read over a long period of time, and it's unlike anyone else, anything else that I've ever read. It's practical and it's extremely profound at the same time. So at times it seems very simplistic, and other times, in one little idea, you experience the profound nature that of the religious experience that this is trying to give you. So I thought this would be a good place to start in terms of this podcast, which I called Evolution Revolution. And I'll try to explore different ideas, methodologies, experiences that I've had related to this effort of humanity to collectively rise in terms of the level of consciousness to from where we are today to a society that is much more evolved and spiritual in the future. If I try to compare A Course in Miracles to things that I've read and experienced in the past, it's really totally unique. If you think about things like the Bhagavad Gita and the Bible, for example, they're not, quote, courses, unquote, in that they give you practical everyday things to pursue. They give you profound ideas to contemplate and things like that, but not a practical handbook for how to pursue, the spiritual life and how to evolve your own consciousness. So to me, A Course in Miracles is totally unique, and since it's the foundation for a lot of what Marianne Williamson is about, I thought it'd be a good place to start this new series. I've had this respiratory infection for several weeks now, and I thought rather than delay the resuming my podcasting, I would get started with whatever voice I have here, and hopefully by the time I do the next one, my voice will be much better and clearer, and this thing that's plagued me for several weeks now will come to pass. Anyway, the Course in Miracles is infinitely tied in with Marianne Williamson, and I'll be talking about Marianne Williamson in some of the future podcasts because her campaign is ongoing. She just reopened it, and it remains to be seen how the election is going to go and how many votes she's actually going to get. And one of the things obvious to me is that Joe Biden is not going to be the candidate because he's disintegrating in front of the American people thanks to social media and widespread coverage on television. So I'll be commenting a lot about Marianne and her campaign because it fits in with everything that I'm trying to accomplish here, which is to provide people with alternatives to explore if they want to become part of the what I see as a revolution in the evolution of human consciousness. So this podcast is going to be a little bit shorter than I hope to be able to do in the future when I have a full voice back and recovered from what I'm recovering from here. So this is the extent of the podcast for now, and hopefully I can provide interesting ones in the future that you can perhaps use to join the revolution that I believe is going to make a huge difference in terms of how the world proceeds from here on.